This is Akafe. Laura Marie and Jessica Marie proudly present A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, a podcast. Fair warning, everything the hosts say is explicit, full of spoilers and adult content, and shall not be used against them. They have opinions. Let's try not to drag anyone for expressing themselves and just have fun for an hour. We all deserve it.
This episode contains spoilers from the entire Folk of the Air series with brief mentions of House of Hollow and Manacled.
Everybody, and welcome to A Court of Fandoms and Exploration, your weekly deep dive into the fantasy literature and fandoms that we love. I'm Laura Marie.
And I'm Jessica Marie.
And today we are discussing The Prisoner's Throne by Holly Black. This is book two in the Little Oak and Surin duology situation that we have. let's dive in. Jess, did you like this book?
I liked Jude and Cardin. I think that's very fair to say. I love that we know that Jude is still the baddie that she is. And Cardin's just here for the ride. Like, that's my woman. She's running this shit. I don't have to worry about a damn thing. I was lost. Shameless self-promotion. Listen to our The Stolen Heir episode to try to like have some background, which we were right about a lot of things that transitioned over here into book two. But to like remember where we were and to remember the plot. So that was interesting. I don't know. I don't feel like I was that invested into it. If anything, it made me want to reread the first three books on Jude and Cardin. And I only wound up reading this like 1.5 times because I try to get through a second read, to have a better grasp, to have a better understanding. Laura, where were you at with this? Because I feel like you read this a few times also.
Yeah, I read this on my own, like not for the podcast, one time and then 1.5 times for the podcast. And let's be honest. I did not love this book, Jess, so much so that I think I told you when I was about halfway done with this that I was like, you know what? Maybe we just let this one kind of like slide off. But then I got to the last, like, I don't know, the last quarter of this book. And I was like, oh, okay, bam, bam, bam. All right. I see where it's going. I see where it will go. I like that. Okay. So I think And this is like bad to say, I guess, but like as a vehicle for Jude and Cardin's story, I like this book because that thread is what pulled me along through this, because the politics, just as you said when we were talking, like, I agree, I didn't really care about the politics here so much, which is a wild thing for me to say.
I was going to say, because I was like, usually that's really where you're like, okay, take the romance out of it. Take this out of it. Focus on the politics. The politics with Oak and Wren just weren't there for us. I'm wondering, but like, I don't know. I guess we have to see where the, because I think we've confirmed there's a third book. Holly has confirmed a third book through the tour that she did for this particular book. We know that's going to be Nicasia. We know it's going to be Jude and Cardin. We know that's going to be, I wonder if this will tie into that, or if it could be like, you know what, just go from Queen of Nothing, jump to that new book, and in your head you could be like 10 years into the future. Like, that's your post-epilogue book kind of thing. Interesting, which is so, again, coming from two people who we always say, if the author writes it, you should read it.
Also, I think reading this, do you know what this did? Do you know what this did, Jess? Reading this book only made me want to reread House of Hollow.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Because we have Wren, and like she's very prominent, and like Jude, and like her sister, and like the family, and they're in Faerie, and they're like, you know, it's like dangerous. And I was just like, I really don't care about Oak at all. If I'm going to be here, I'd love to be over in House of Hollow. Like, that would be rad.
And interesting. Oh, you know, and you could see also in this one how Jude and Taryn's relationship has kind of, I don't want to say fixed, but you could see that they've made amends, because Taryn is like back at her sister's side and Vivi is there with Heather. The sister bonds are happening here and almost reforged compared to where we last left off with them.
Well, and we're bringing up the sisters. Jess, who is in this book? Let's dive into it. We've talked some shit. Let's dive into the actual book.
Well, everybody's back. Everybody is back from the Folk of the Air chronicles at this point. We have Oak, Surin, Bogdana, Hyacinth, who is Ren's second in command. Maddox is back. Mother Marrow, Randolin, Grimma Mog, Tiernan, Mab, and then some of our OGs that were mentioned in the first part of the duology. But they're back in full force here with Orianna, Cardin, Jude, Taryn, her son, that she had with Locke, Leander, Vivi, Heather, the Roach, the Bomb, the Ghost, who we learn his name is Garrett, who winds up like having a relationship with Taryn at some point. Those are kind of like a lot of our key players.
Yeah. And before we even get into it, yes, Jessica Marie, this does follow the pattern.
Good. Cause did you pick up on the pattern immediately, or were you like, it's all there the second read through?
It's all the second one. It's all there second read through. Yeah, in typical fashion, it's all there the second read through. Because honestly, again, I'm talking a little bit of shit. I did this through the audio every time I read this, and I dislike the narrator. I didn't like the narrator. I did not like the performance that was given. So because of that, I found myself just like dipping out of rooms and coming back and like not really paying attention. So here, all of this to say that this book starts off with not chapter one, not a prologue, not like nothing. It just goes bam, 6 weeks before imprisonment. So because I wasn't like super paying attention, I had to go back and be like, what is this? What is this called? And it's not called anything. It just says 6 weeks before imprisonment. And then it goes to chapter one. So.
Right. And again, with the audio, because then the second time, like the 0.5 time I was reading it, I went to co-read it. And once again, from what we said in the Stolen Air episode, the audio book does not align with the chapters. So like if the audio book said chapter 20, it was really chapter 18 in the physical or ebook copy. So I thought that was interesting. Which timeline and logistics, if that was 6 weeks of prior to imprisonment, that means we also get the timeline that he was imprisoned for 3 weeks, which means all of the political stuff that was happening where he's like at the court of Alfheim, it was only 3 weeks prior to where the Stolen Air kicked off.
So does this follow the pattern? I said, Jessica, it does. It does. Because the first two people that like Oak run into are fucking Randolin and Lady Elaine. And I hate to break it to you, but that's the plot.
Yeah.
That's the plot. The Ren has like so little to do with it. Like, that's the plot.
And, you know, it's funny because Randolin the whole time, again, you pick it up on the reread, how dismissive Oak was of Randolin. He's so stupid. He's an idiot. No one's listening to him, which Randolin uses to his advantage, because flash forward to later on in the book, Oak is like, oh, I underestimated him. He did not only exactly what I would have done, I have done. And I didn't even pick up on it because I'm so down bad with this girl.
Yeah, I'm so down bad with this girl. And also, on a reread, Randolin is just there all the time. And everyone is kind of commenting on Randolin all the time, which is weird.
But not doing anything about it.
Well, not even that. it's just weird because he has been a background character this entire time. So, like, why are we suddenly paying attention to him? Like, you know, it's just like in a TV show where they give a side character that you've met for the very first time a very emotional backstory, and then and then they die, and you're like, oh my god! It's just, I mean, hello, it's the same thing here, and it's like, oh, okay. I mean, honestly, is the next villain gonna be like Van Morin, because he's like the only one left? So then if we go to 6 weeks before the imprisonment, we're sticking with this timeline. Oak is 17. Jude is 26. This is 9 years after the events of the Wicked King. And this 6 months before imprisonment, this is just essentially like reminding us of what happened in whatever that book is.
Queen of Nothing?
No,
The Stolen Heir.
Right. Yeah, it's basically reminding us of the Stolen Heir and giving us like a different view of it, because it's like, oh, it's the Jude and Cardin part of it that Oak is overhearing with the heart and ransoming Matic and all of that. And that kind of sets up what's going on. But I do like that we have the naming ceremony for Oak, like he's going to be made heir. And I like that Jude's like, no. You're of age now. We are doing this. You're going to be a great king. I trust that you're going to be a great king. And Oak is like very broody about it, but he does it. And that's what I like about it, because the way that Jude and Cardin phrase the will you take this responsibility? It's like, well, I mean, like, yeah, I guess, but like, I really don't fucking want it.
So Oak doesn't want the title.
No, Oak doesn't want the title, but I like the kind of character progression that he goes through, because at the end, someone is just like, you know what? Like, hello, if you marry Ren, you're king by default. And Oak's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, either way, it was happening. I mean, I do understand, like, you tap into the whole family obligation of it, whereas Jude wanted it because it was a sense of power. She went, you know, from the first book, if I can't best them, I'm going to be so much worse. And made their lives a living hell, still does, still runs that shit. And he and Oak is like, they've done so much for me. There is that familial obligation, which is also like nice where, he, you know, flash forward to later in the book where him and Cardin are talking and he tells Cardin, dude, I don't want your crown. Please don't think I have like this vendetta against you or I'm trying to steal it from you. Like, I don't want it. And Cardin's like, this sounds familiar, because I didn't want this shit either.
And you're the one who put the crown on my head. Just saying. Good symmetry. The way that this book is written, there are random kind of like asides that Oak has where he's like, where he like ruminates on his childhood. And specifically in the beginning, he's like, I was brought into the world in blood and poison. I was an accident. Like all of this stuff. It's like, okay.
The dramatics.
The dramatics of it.
I've done that too.
Yeah. Like, I get it, Oak. It's fine. I just do not find Oak and Surin's story that compelling. It's a me thing. I'm sure it's a me thing. I just doesn't like click for me. I just don't care so much. I am interested so much more in like what Matic is doing. Honestly, like I like when Oak has another little aside moment and he talks about going to see Matic and having that like battle with him and Matic basically teaching Oak how to like disassociate and split himself and become the ultimate fighting machine.
Yeah. And, you know, I do like, I'm having more fun in Oak's flashbacks because it gets us to the characters that we like. And I do like, he says, he goes, my sisters are badasses, whether they like to, they wanted to or not. Like Matic taught them how to fight. And everybody just, they protected me and kept me in a bubble. And I just don't have any self-defense. And Maddock is like, the time has come, son. He's so proud. He's so excited. And he knows it's going to be this thing that he gets to share with Oak. And what's one of the quotes that Maddock says in these flashbacks? He goes, I might be bad, but my advice isn't.
Yeah. And you know what? I like Maddock. I like Maddock a lot here. And I like that he is still such a big part of the family, even though he isn't general, and that we get to see him have quiet moments as just like a dad and like kind of a scheming dad, but like he's just kind of there.
Yeah. Well, and even Jude, like everybody has very, Jude specifically has a strained relationship with him, because even though she exiled him, she's also like, how's dad? Are you making sure he's like getting his laundry done, like reluctantly? Because that has to be an interesting dynamic between all of them. I do. And when they're planning in the war room, and Leanne and Carden's like, ugh, the war room. I don't want to move shit on the table. And Leander's like, I don't either. Like, let's play, Uncle Carden. And everyone, and that's when Jude is like, well, Maddock's going to be there, and shit might go down. He's like, well, now things are interesting. Come on, Leander. Let's go fuck shit up. So I do. It's really, again, you get to see the progression of all of their dynamics. And they're all very complicated characters from what we've discussed in our previous episodes. We've gone through all of the books so far. But that there's a bottom line, there's a bigger picture, and everybody's about this bigger picture right now.
And the way that Oak kind of justifies everything that he does is like, I am doing everything that I do to protect the throne, to protect Carden, to protect my sisters. And they don't know anything about it, because it would crush them if they knew who I really was. Because everything that they do, they justify by saying, well, at least Oak had a childhood. At least Oak is okay. At least Oak didn't have to murder a bunch of people. Even though he's still doing that.
Even when Ren is like, okay, but how many people does Jude think you've killed? And he goes like, two. And she goes, but how many have you actually? He's like, at least 24.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's like, Maddock has a better idea.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so I do like the fact that there is this guilt and pressure on Oak of, you know, I kind of have to hide everything about who I truly am and be this feckless prince, because that's the role that I play. That's expected of me. That's how my sisters see me. And that role and how they see me keeps them at ease and not worrying about me, so that they can like do what they have to do. And I just found this family juggling to be one of the most like human aspects of this family in Fairyland.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that you can, I was going to say with you breaking that down, it is very applicable to, we have a certain self, many of us, not all of us. If you're lucky to show your true colors to your family, that's wonderful. But many of us have a certain mask that we put on, or we're chameleons when we're around our family, and there's a certain side that we can show them because that's what keeps them at ease. And sometimes that's like the best for your mental health too. So seeing that here is just, like you said, it's refreshing to see the human aspects, but they're also like in the human world all the time too, because there's a part where, you know, you have Oak with Oriana. He goes, Mom, and she goes, you're too human, you can't say the full word. And he's like, Mother. You know, he's just rolling his eyes, or he would refer to Maddock as Dad. So it's the cultures of each of the worlds blending.
Well, and to what you're saying, after Oak has his kind of like little crowning ceremony, and he goes with Lady Elaine, and Lady Elaine is like, in 3 days, Oak, 3 days, I'm going to tell you like the plot. There's going to be a plot revealed. And Oak's like, word. in the meantime, I'm going to drink every drink and dance every dance and get so hungover that I need to sneak into Jude and Cardin's room. I say sneak. The guard knew that he was in there. Like, he didn't sneak.
Which is also funny because then Jude and Cardin walk in and he's like, I got to hide under the bed. And meanwhile, the guard could have easily been like, your brother's
he's in there waiting for you. Yeah. Like, so it's
he's
just
like, I just need Tylenol. That's all I need. And then he sees the birth control and he's like, oh, and then it's another thing that he takes on. Like, does she want the birth control? Does she not? Is it because of me? And he's having all this like inner turmoil throughout this whole book.
Yes. And especially here, too, because he sees the birth control and he's just like, well, like, what is going on? Like, she can have kids. It's easy. She can secure the dynasty. Like, she needs to do this. Is she not doing this because of me? Well, I don't want this. Like, she should if she wants to and have a family. So it is, I would say it's a miscommunication trope, but it's like not really, because it's like family stuff, and like family stuff is a little bit different. But all that to say that this is all hammered out by the end of this book.
Right, because I was going to say, like, there, especially between him and Jude, because she goes, look, because there were parts in this book where it was like a great refresher because I just didn't remember certain plot, like the whole, how Lariah P was his mom, Dane is like his biological mom, and Dane is his biological dad, like how that all got fleshed out with like the blusher mushroom and everything. At first I was like, wait, didn't we know this already? And I go, oh, that's right. We knew this from a Jude Cardin perspective. This is Oak digesting all of this information and finally putting pieces together. Like, this wasn't some fairy tale Oriana told him growing up. Like, this was his truth and like his origin story in a way. And then knowing that the whole, like I say the whole time, but he feels like, well, everybody knew this but me. And so like you said, like it gets ironed out and all like these little intricacies. She's like, yes, we knew this. Yes, we should have told you, but also goes both ways.
Yeah, it also goes both ways. So let's spill everything. And I love that this is all resolved by the end of this book. But we are still right here, right now in chapter one. This is chapter one. Wabam. Oak is bridled. He's in the cells in the court of teeth. He is fed. He has a rabbit fur blanket. He is waiting. Sometimes Ren comes and watches him in the cells, but not all the time. Bogdana, the storm hag, she's here too. And BT Dubs, Ren, super powerful. She's waking the troll kings. Okay, cool. And Oak has been here for 3 weeks or so.
I was going to say, what I kind of like is that Ren, I don't know if she shut off her emotions, but I feel like she's just driven by her hurt, which allows her to kind of like, I need to emotionally cut myself off from Oak and do what I think needs to be done. But at the same time, she's being used by Bogdana mm-hmm. because of her maternal, you know, there's a lot of unsolved mommy issues that she has going on there.
Absolutely. And a human sister. I'm telling you, the whole time I was just like, House of Hollow, because we have our human sister trapped in a walnut. Spoiler, I guess. But that's neither here nor there yet. We're still in our jail cell here. We have a little snake. A little snake comes in. Our little snake says, hiss, hiss, hiss. 3 days until you're going to be rescued. Oak. Hiss, hiss, hiss.
And Oak is like, but give me more time. I want to talk to Ren. Like, she'll hear me out. And they're like, no, there is none. Because in 3 days' time, the entire army of Elfheim is knocking at their door. And Oak is like, I said, like, you could see his, like, Ben Affleck frustration face of, I said, give me more three. Like, as if he had any control over what Elfheim and what his sisters were going, because that's also like in the back of his head, like, it's just me. This is so stupid. I have it handled. Sir, you do not have anything handled right now.
Yeah, you do not. Although he does handle this snake. I like how he handles this snake. He's like, huh, I bet you this snake is, because the snake doesn't just like go out the window. The snake's like, I'm on a mission. And he's like, huh, he didn't poison me, but snake, I bet you that's going to poison somebody else. And he takes it, and he takes the poison out of it. He strips it for gems, and then he makes his way out of the dungeons, which is funny. You know what? You know what? My first priority would probably also be a bath.
Yeah.
Just saying it. I'm just saying it.
Yeah.
You know what?
But like, and you know, and going back to how we said, like, he has this persona that he kind of created, he leans into it. He always leans into it. That's kind of his default. And he goes, okay, like, if I get caught, I'll just be like, oh, I'm just like this poor little rich boy. I was just feeling really dirty and I needed a bath, which is also his downfall later in the book, because he goes, shit, I created this persona for myself. I did, like, shame on me.
Which is also, again, satisfying, again, when he has this moment with Cardin. And Cardin is like, I see you. You can't bullshit a bullshitter. Yeah. Like, you can't bullshit a bullshitter. Like, no, you can't do it. You can't do it. We'll get there. We'll get there. Oak also has his power of manipulation that he uses throughout this book. And he struggles with the consequences of this power throughout this book as well. Does anybody truly love him, or does his power leech out of him without him knowing and just affect everyone in the vicinity of him?
And it never crossed his mind until Ren brought it up, because she was she was just like tapped out of magic at one point, because every time she's using her magic, she's being depleted and dying essentially. And he was like, well, fuck, I wasn't thinking that before. But I could easily see when he's recounting past, like, the one friend that he made in the human world, where he goes, oh, well, I didn't even realize I was actively catering to be his friend. He liked this thing and I would like it with him and we would hang out. And it wasn't until he wouldn't see his friend for a couple days, or his friend would just kind of go quiet and silent and internalize things, where he goes, oh, wait, I think so. Then he distanced himself from everybody all the time. And he always thought of that in like a friendship capacity. He never thought if that would be applicable to familial relationships.
And that is kind of horrifying. Really, like, that is a horrifying thing to realize, to not know. And he does kind of like prove it to himself that it is not the case with Matic at the end. But he does go through most of this book just being like, I just don't know. I don't know. And that's awful.
And he wants to isolate himself from everybody, because he's like, everybody would be better off without me. Like, I would not be influencing anybody. Like, it's really sad. You can see it. And I would be hard pressed to think many of us wouldn't be going down that same spiral as well.
Oh, absolutely. All right. We are in the throne room. Oak is clean. He's looking. He's sneaking. He's watching. We're in the throne room. Ren is there. Bogdana is there. And Mother Marrow is there. This is where the politics start politicking. Bogdana, first among hags, starts calling Ren out in public. Starts being like, yo, what about this? We doing this? What about this? And Ren is like, maybe we talk in private. And Bogdana's like, maybe we don't. Maybe we talk about this here and now. And it's like, whoa. And then Mother Marrow is like, hi. Hello. Would you like an acorn tent? Here you go. Here's an acorn tent. Me giving you a nut will have absolutely no play later in the book. This will not be important.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is the most obvious thing in my face. I have no idea how this will play out, but I was like, this is bad news. That's all I kept thinking. I was like, this nut is bad news.
Yeah, it's like, okay. After the throne room scene, we have Oak sneaking into Ren's bedroom. This is here where he notices that Ren is starting to look really sick. And this is also where Oak is like, hey, hi, I'm sorry.
Hi, I miss you. Please love me.
You know, I'm in your dungeons, right? Like, you know, I'm down there. Hi.
And she goes, oh, so you're not getting the attention that you like, little Mr. Prince? Like, she was so giving back to him. Life must be so hard.
And then she's like, oh, okay. Crawl.
Oh, I loved it.
Crawl to me.
She's the hem of my dress. Yeah.
She's like, oh, you'll do anything? Absolutely anything? Crawl. You couldn't even crawl. You couldn't even handle crawling. Come on. She's like, psh. Get out of my sight.
What was one of those? She goes, I heard you were calling for me from the dungeons. And he was like, I was screaming for you. And she's like,
Wild.
How about that?
Crazy. And then she, Ren, puts Oak under some, like, you know, don't do this until you're here. And then Oak gets fucking tortured to unconsciousness by some guards in the torture chamber. Like, hey.
Yeah, what was it? Like, you have to be confined or something. And then he was confined being handcuffed. So that was his loophole to be like, I don't have to listen anymore. And he's combating with the guards. And he goes, I wasn't going to kill her. I would have had a weapon. I really just wanted to talk to this girl that I like. And they're like, but she don't want to talk to you.
Yep. This is also where Oak has his unconscious, like, dream about Locke. And the fox, and, you know, and the Ryopi, you know, your lover will murder you, you know, all this stuff. And this, again, this undercurrent of acceptance of, like, love, honestly, and acceptance of, like, family runs throughout this and is kind of, like, underscored here. But also, like, politics-wise, like, the guards are killing each other. The guards are turning on each other. Things are going on. The Falcons are able to be people and falcons whenever they want, which is kind of cool because Ren's power is unmaking and she is very powerful. So, I mean, that's all cool. Oak is tortured to unconsciousness. I do like that Oak does not necessarily try to be brave. He's like, I'm fucking terrified. This sucks. I don't want to do this. This is scary. Like, guys, this is scary. I don't want to do this. And he tries to, like, charm one of the guards. And, like, can't do it, you know, if you don't lose it, if you don't use it, you lose it. So then again, we're back at the cell. So it's just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm hesitant to say this is a travel book because he's just, like, traveling in between rooms in the castle right now.
Well, I mean, it depends on how we look at a travel book, because we typically look at a travel book as a book too. But this is a duology, so this would be a wrap-up book. But if you look at it as a Folk of the Air, it is a travel book in a way within Folk of the Air, more so than the first three books.
That's true. They do go to, like, all the different isles, and then they're on a ship, on a boat. Yeah. So yeah, travel book two. That you know what?
Or knowing that we have a third book, we have our first set, which is the Jude Cardin. We have our second set, which is this duology. The second set is our book two's travel, because there's a lot of traveling in the first book, too.
Yeah, they're questing. Yeah, they're absolutely questing in the first book.
So this duology is the travel. Second set of books. Yeah, this is our book
I
two
love it.
Set. Yeah, we made I it work. It. We got there.
We got there. I love it. All right. Oak's unconscious, wakes up in the fucking cells again. We've got Bogdana and she's like, yo, I just want the High King. Like banging on the like bars and stuff, just annoying the shit out of him.
She's so annoying.
She's like, And she's like, I just want the High King. And like, you're the reason. And I'm going to use you to get him. And Oak's just like, what? No.
Like, he's so confused. And she's like, you want this? He goes, I don't fucking care. I just want anybody, any hag to be on the throne. I don't care who it is. Ren just happens to be here.
Yeah. Ren just happens to be here. And, you know, her power's making her sick, but like, it is what it is. Mm-mm. And then we have Hyacinth. Hyacinth shows up. I love the name Hyacinth. I cannot picture this person. I cannot picture Hyacinth. I need some fan art to really help me here. I don't know what it is. It's just like, I just picture like a dandelion for some reason, which is incorrect in every aspect of it. So help me. But Hyacinth is like, yo, Oak, like you, I'm taking you to Ren. Like, I'm going to take you to dinner, but like, I'm also giving you an escape route. get the fuck out of here. Like, go. Go. Also, here's a book. I hear you like human books and shit. Here's a book. That was fun. It's like, okay.
Is this where Hyacinth also takes the bridle off of Oak?
No.
Oh.
He does not. This is where Hyacinth gives the book that has on page 161 the dried stalk of ragwort so that he can fly away and go to the army.
Oh, the ragwort helps him bring his, like, his horse.
Yep. So that, and this is also where Hyacinth is like, get out of here. All you do is make things worse. Like, go talk to the army. Like, why are you making everything worse? Just escape and go. But Oak is like, yeah, okay, like, sure. And then he goes and has dinner with Ren. And Ren is like, I want you and I have you. Like, I have everything I want. Like, go off.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I just, why does Ren need to fight anything? Like, she doesn't. Oak is the one who puts her in the position of, this is my betrothed. And she's like, fuck, you made this public, which is what his intention was when, you know, Jude and them show up. I know I'm flashing forward there for a second.
Well, yeah, but this is also where Ren is like, you know, you can't stop what's coming. Oak's like, what's coming? Not me. Like, what is going on? Like, what is going on? Of course, this is she's in cahoots with Bogdana and Randolin this whole time. They're all in cahoots. And it's in this dinner, essentially, Ren is like, look, you're not going to go back to the cells. You're going to go to the tower. But, like, fucking stay there, my guy. Like, I'll deal with you. But, like, I have my own shit going on. Like, and I want you here. Like, would you stay here with me? Like, I could order it. Like,
but do you want me to order it? And he's like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, he likes her. But yeah. Both of them have such serious trust issues. And emotions are involved on top of it. So nobody is thinking clear.
No one's thinking clear at all. But that kind of, it is important to know on a reread that Ren has, like, an unbreakable vow, more or less, put on her. So she cannot talk about certain, like, things, and especially related to her sister and Bogdana. And Oak, like, notices it, like, way too late. He's too wrapped up in his own shit. But even here, where Ren is like, you can't stop what's coming, that could be, like, skewed as her being, like, trying, because she does try to warn Oak of what is going on a little bit, as much as she can throughout the whole book. So I don't know. I'm kind of like stuck on Ren. I'm a little bit stuck on Ren. I don't care about her much as a character. I like her as a queen.
I also feel that Ren is in constant survivor mode.
Yeah.
That's all she's ever known.
Yeah. And that's exhausting. And it's hard to be in that headspace all the time, which is also, I think, pretty valid. Going from here, we have Oak using his power just a little bit to charm Daggery to break his vow, his promise that binds him to the Court of Teeth, so that he could be like, yo, you work for me now. You work for me now. Go deliver this message. Go deliver this message to Jude's army and to Hyacinth. It is so important that you do this. Please do this. And Daggery's like, yeah, well, you broke this binding on me. I'm free. So, like, I totally, totally work for you now. And Hyacinth is like, what are you doing here still? Why aren't you gone? Why are you making everything worse? You know, Hyacinth's really real for that.
Oak is giving Hyacinth a run for his money and the biggest headache here. Just about the whole thing, honestly, between this and then when Oak is, like, constantly around whenever Hyacinth and Tiernan are having their conversations, he's just like, can you focus on your own shit?
And this is where Hyacinth takes off the bridle. Yeah, this is where. So it's after dinner.
Oh, because then he was like, I will take this off, but I also need you to bring me the actual hand of the person who killed Liriope. And this is when Oak is like, wait, I thought that was already taken care of. Was it not? And he goes, nope. And he's like, I guess I'm bringing him an actual hand.
Yeah, I guess I am. And this is, and so there, also through the use of daggery, Oak gets into some nice clothes and he pops into the throne room, right? After the bridle is taken off by Hyacinth. And he's like, yo, hi, everybody. Hello, Randolin, the ghost, Tiernan, and Grimamog. Hello, Bogdana. Hello, Ren. Hello, Randolin, specifically stated as being annoying, being very vocal, being there, being boisterous. Okay. You've never been any of those things before. Let's pay attention to you now. All right. And this is where Oak is just like, yo, you're all here. This is so great. We're engaged. It's great.
He's also putting his neck out here because he's like, she's either going to call me on the shit or she's going to play. And I really hope she's just going to play because this could be really fun. But because she's in her queen shit and you even see it like later, she says like, I know what you were doing. I wasn't like you were preventing a war. I appreciate that. So we could actually get, you know, try to net everything out.
Well, yeah. And this is all very just very funny, too, because everything is on the fly. And Bogdana agrees so quickly to this that everyone's like, ooh, actually, why are you so happy about this? Actually, Bogdana. Bogdana's like, yeah, you know what? Everybody go to Elfheim. We're getting married. 3 days. You'll get 3 dresses. We are doing this. We are all in. Let's get on this fucking boat and go.
Cardin and June, they don't answer. They never say yes. They never confirm because that's brought up later when Bogdana is like, I said 3 days. And they go, we didn't acknowledge it and we didn't agree. So then Jude is also playing her again. This is like jumping ahead. But she goes, okay, you want to do 3 days? We'll have festivities. We'll do it at the end of the day. I will ask you a question and if Ren about Oak and if Ren gets it wrong, wedding delayed. And they were like, and because it's fairy, there's so many different loopholes they can go about just to give them more of a delay. And that was the whole intent that Jude had.
Because Jude is.
Jude is on her shit.
Jude is that bitch.
Yes.
Jude is that bitch. All right. We are on our boat. This is after Hyacinth and Tiernan have a big fight and Hyacinth like hits Oak. It's this whole thing.
Oh, he persuades her with the teacup. She's like, you can't persuade me. And he was just like, shit, I did. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even realize it.
Mm-hmm.
And the guard is laughing at me thinking I lost my chance. And I go,
It's like, So we are on our boat. We have Randolin being so loud, being like, that queen could be a good leader. She has 2 troll kings on her side. Like, why? Like, she, why stay angry? Like, she's it. Like, I think she would be great for us. Like, Oak, you did a good job. And this is everyone's like, the fuck are you on about? Like, you're being so goddamn annoying. Like, Jesus Christ, Randolin. Why all of a sudden? Of course we know. Ren has broken the curse on the falcons again. Ren confesses to Oak on the boat that she wishes that Bogdana would like stay behind, but that she like really can't. And this is also where Ren is like, look, let's break off this engagement. I know that you did this to like, you know, play or whatever, but like, this is crazy. Like, I'll stay in the north. We do not need to do this.
I will not hold it against you either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, no. The charming with the teacup again, like, oh my gosh. And I do find the charming scene with the teacup to be really sad because all Oak says to Ren is like these honest things that he wants to do with her. Like, I want to take you to the masks. I want to introduce you to my sisters. I want to do these things with you. And they are just like everyday normal things that he would actually want to do with her, but not being able to separate his desires from his powers And then Ren being charmed to pick up the cup against her will without her like realizing it and her crying about this, it makes this whole encounter very, very sad.
And she even says it like she's like hurt and angry. She was like, how dare you say those things to me? How dare you make me think that this is possible?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is like after Bogdana's like gotcha story in front of everybody about the girl and her power and like
the match every
the
time.
Matches. Yeah.
And he knew and he goes, you know, you even hear from Oak. He's like, oh, what's the story about? Gonna be about me.
Yep. And she burned up. I do like the dig too, because like she met a boy and the boy wanted her to like leave it all behind, leave her power behind and live in happiness, and she did, but was it really happiness? These little digs. That will stay with you long after. But you know, it's, I thought that was good.
Well, and that was the intent.
Yeah, well, it stayed with me long after. So, like, goddamn. I was just like, ooh, that hurts. But then we have our politics. Our politics start politicking with the undersea attack. And it's like, hey, Kieran and Cronin, okay, sure.
Sharks are attacking. Sea monsters are attacking. Was it Randolin or Valin who they're like, get under the deck. Don't get caught. Oak, and then Ren comes out. She's like, what's going on? And he goes, well, at least they're doing something valiant, trying to protect her at least. And Oak just kind of leans into this caricature that he created. And he's like, hey guys, what's going on? She made me need to marry her. So if y'all want to come take me away from this, that'd be great.
Yeah. And eventually, Ren just unmakes all of the monsters and that battle is fucking over. But the little tidbit here is that Randolin drags away Surin and pulls her into the belly of the ship for safety.
Oh, that's the part that I was thinking. I was like, it was Randolin or Valin? I can't remember.
It's absolutely Randolin. And it's like, well, of course he did. Like, knowing, you know, on a reread, you're like, yeah, it's all right here. Obviously, it's all right here. But in the moment, you're just like, oh, yeah, no, like.
And that was Oak's comment, too. He's like, good for him. He's doing something right.
Yeah, like finally, you know, good. So of course, now that Ren has unmade this enormous sea monster, she's sick. Like, she is sick. She is, like, wavery, and she has this moment with Oak. It's like, does anyone truly love you? You know, she's, like, kind of delirious, and Oak is like, damn! You didn't have to shake me like that.
And she felt bad. She did. He's like, oh, I could see she hates herself for saying that, but she's not wrong. Now I'm wondering, existential crisis for Oak right here.
Yeah, for real. We have a little tidbit, a little aside, if you will, that says that hag power comes from the thing that is missing inside of them. Okay, that definitely won't be important later. Definitely not. We also learned that the ghost has something to say. He's got something to say. And he knows that Locke knew the poisoner. And he's telling Oak all of this stuff. We know what we know. So all of this coming out later is interesting for Oak. I do like Oak kind of processing all of these lies and trauma a little bit later. But
Well, and also the ghost being like, well, that's not my story to tell. Like, have you talked to your sister?
Yeah, like, come on. But neither here nor there is an arrival at Elfheim. Here we go. Randolin is first off the boat. Very first off the boat. All these little things. I was just like, ah. And Oak's comment is, oh, Randolin, he's harmless. Specifically here when he's first off the boat.
He dismisses Randolin the entire time. When you, again, the second read through, you pick up on how dismissive he is to Randolin. Oh, he's an idiot. Of course, nobody's going to listen to him. Nobody cares. Why is he just kind of there?
Yeah, like, I mean, is there anything better than Jude, Cardin? We got everybody here. We have this royal meeting. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I want to see it. I saw it. Reading it, I saw it. You see Oak, like, here she is in her corset over some billowy top. Probably Cardin's. Like, you know. I just, you have just Cardin showing up. We were talking about this earlier before we started recording, and he's just like, that's my girl. I'm just here. I'm here for fun. She has shit handled. She actually runs the show. I'm just here to look pretty.
just here to look pretty. Just here to look pretty. We love it. We love it. And I do like, too, there is a point where Randolin is, like, complaining about going north. And Judith's like, what the fuck are you on about? You insisted. Shut up. I mean, could I love her anymore? No, I don't think I could. I don't think I could. But this is where we get the wedding negotiations, Bogdana, 3 days, all of this stuff. And this is also where Cardin and Jude are like, hi, Oak. So, like, say goodbye to them. We have to have a family meeting. Let's go. Round it up.
And Oak is like, I'm tired. I'm dirty. I want to take a nap. I want to change my clothes. And Jude goes, pick two,
bitch.
And he goes, I'm so used to seeing her as my sister. What do you say? I'm so used to seeing her as my sister, but right now she is the queen of Elfheim. And she's like, I will drag you kicking and screaming. I prefer you take a bath, but you know what? I'll walk in on you naked. We have shit to do because you have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah, a lot of explaining to do. And he does a decent job of it, I guess. I mean, I guess. Madoc is there. His exile is rescinded. Jack is also there. Hello, Jack. Jack of the Lake. It's good to see you. Ariana, I mean, I love it. Ariana, you won't marry her. Oak's like, yeah, this is comforting. I knew you'd say that, Mom. Like, I knew it.
Yeah. Nobody likes her. Jude is definitely, she's like, who is this girl? I don't have the exact page mark, but Laura, we were talking about it where she says to Ren, so you're supposed to be my new sister. And Ren clocks Jude trying to intimidate her, and Oak is just in La La Land. Like, I don't know why Jude is asking these questions. And I feel like any person reading that who is familiar with, like, girl fights, it is right there on paper.
It is right there on paper, clear as day. Oh my goodness. So after we have this, like, family meeting, right, Oak is like, let's have a picnic with Ren. Like, she will love this. And he just, like, gets this picnic together. And then, like, Ren, like, bah, pops out at him in the woods. This, like, we need to call this off. We need to call this off. And Oak is like, I love you.
That's the first thing he says, because he tells his mom. He's like, Mom, stop talking shit. I love this woman. And Oriana's like, anyway, you should wear the bronze.
Yeah, yeah. You should wear the bronze. Anyway. So
she's so dismissive. She's going to be that mother-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Oak is like, I love you. And Ren is like, what?
He's like, I just have to say it so she believes me. That was his reasoning. It was no lead up. He goes, I don't want her to think that there was anything behind it. Yeah. It was just, you needed to believe me. So I needed to be direct.
And she's like, All right. I guess. Bye. I'll see you later. And she, like, fucks off. And then Oak is like, what am I going to do with this goddamn picnic basket? I look like an asshole. So he goes to Mother Marrow and he's like, hey, Mother Marrow, what's up? That hazelnut rolling around is definitely not important. Not at all. Not at all. Didn't you have, like, a daughter? Mother Marrow, like, and then Mother Marrow drops this little bomb of, like, Ren's magic is, like, warped and, like, inside out. And it's supposed to be a power of creation. And it has, like, turned into a power of destruction. And it is killing her. Good to know.
I feel like if anything, it was, like, reconfirmed what has already been, we've been exposed to leading up until that.
Yeah, which is good because there's a lot going on, so it's nice to have little reminders of the plot. Like Lady Elaine popping up and be like, hey, we're meeting tonight? And Oak's like, what the fuck? Yeah, what? Okay.
Because before he was imprisoned, again, we knew it because first, you know, pre-prologue 6 weeks earlier, she was the first character and he was sleeping with her, so he can get that inside information. And this is the first time he's seeing her since he was, quote unquote, imprisoned. So she's like, hey, so, like, I got info for you. Let's hook up, literally, and I'll exchange some info.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, you want to do that? You want to do that? And it's like, He's like, yeah, like, totally, sure. When? This vague time? Perfect. I'll see you in the gardens at this vague time. Love that. Love that for me. And then we have one of my, like, I don't know, I think maybe it's my second favorite moment of the book. And it's a very quiet, kind of strange moment. And it's this moment here where
you always pick up on the quiet ones. It's really nice.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily quiet. I don't know. It's just like not a big one, but it's this moment between Ren and Jude and kind of the court where it's the part where Oak is like, damn, Taryn looks old. Damn, is Jude still human? Damn.
Oh, that was good. Gave us a good laugh.
I mean, that was good. But my favorite moment here is when Ren is talking to Jude, you know, while all of this is going on. And Ren is like, yo, like, I can do you some fucking favors. There's a curse on the queen.
Oh, yeah. There's when she talks about, like, she can remove the gash.
Yeah, she's like, there's a gash. And Jude's like, cha.
And then she removes it, and they were like, and Cardin's like, the gash. How did you get a gash on? She was like, Valerian before.
Well, that's
like,
the curse. The gash is from Dane, and she keeps the gash.
She keeps the gash.
She removes Dane. The curse
from Valerian.
From Valerian, yeah. Right. She's like, okay. She was like, he didn't finish it, and then she's like, oh fuck. Well, fuck.
Fuck.
Thanks, Ren. Fuck. I love it.
I like that they brought up Valerian and how Cardin's like, because you killed him. Like, that is like, just stop it. Yes, but you're not mad.
Yeah, you're not mad about it. Like, you're mad at him, not me. She's like, we were in school. He was like, damn.
And y'all were like, ready to kill me.
Yeah, we were beefing. We were beefing then. But I do like that moment where it's a display of Ren's power. It's a display of the politics, and it's a display of Jude's humanity. But it's also a display of the power of the throne, just in this little moment.
Well, and that's what Oak says. He goes, he did this, like, even though we don't have a full court here, people can see. And right now, by Ren doing this to Jude in front of the people who are here and who are listening and who are like the ones who do whispers behind the scenes, this is making them look weak. This is making the crown look weak.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Oak sees that Ren is a little weak after removing that curse, and they have a little dance to try to, like, you know,
dance it off more or less.
Yeah, dance it off more or less. And after that, the ghost comes up to Oak and is like, yo, I need to warn you. Some shit is going on. Some shit is going down. We have to talk. We have to talk right now. And here's some wine, and I will see you soon. I will see you soon, but we need to talk. This is also where Jack of the Lakes is like, Hello, I saw a meeting between some people. Some shit is going down. And Oak is like, there's so much shit going down. I have other shit that is also going down.
There's a lot of shit going down all at the same time with different people.
Yeah, it's just like, goddamn. So right after this, Ren, who cannot talk about Bex, and Oak clocks it. He's like, huh, she like coughed or like rah, 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 when she tried to talk about Bex. That's weird. Not gonna talk about that again. But Ren also says, like, Oak, I've made a mistake. Right? I've made a mistake. And then it's like
she's like, oh, I fucked up. I definitely aligned with the wrong people.
Yeah, it's like, ooh. And then there's like this whole thing with like cake. And it's basically a king cake with the baby, and Bogdana gets it, and she finds a boon, and she's like, yo, you're getting married tomorrow. Wrap it up. We're getting married tomorrow. This is where we have the question, like, Oak is going to ask Ren a question. And if she says, you know, if she gets it right, we'll marry them immediately. As this is happening, the ghost is being killed, right?
Yep. With the blusher mushroom.
Yes. The ghost is being killed with the blusher mushroom. And the...
Well, a lot of people are getting killed with the blusher mushroom, including who they were trying for Oak, but Oak is impervious to blusher mushroom because his mom was ingesting it while he was in utero. But he can't let everybody know that little insight. So this part, I feel like, could have been like our unintentional Akfe saying lie better, because we knew from the previous books, and it had come out publicly that Jude would have a little bit of all of the poisons to grow and a tolerance to it. So I feel like that would have been an easy thing. Like, oh yeah, of course I knew that was blusher mushroom in my wine. I tasted it because blah, 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 blah. Like this, that was the easiest. That was the first thing that I thought of.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense. It makes total sense. Okay. Order of events. The ghost needs to talk to Oak. Oak kind of fucks off about it. Oak goes and ends up meeting Ren in the garden, and they have sex. And there's a beautiful line, ruin me, go too far. Love it, love it. I cannot be sated. Use me then. Love it. I love then when Lady Elaine pops up and she's like, I hope he gives you a half as much, like, basically, like, I hope you get a good ride out of him, too. Like, I mean,
while
we
she's
love it.
Asking Oak to, like, fasten her dress together, and Oak is just like, my girl, I love her so much.
It's like, we love it. We love it. This is also where Oak is like, huh, I wonder if Ren is, like, being controlled. I wonder if she's being, like, blackmailed. It's also where Lady Elaine is like, meet my friends. And it never happens. But then we go to the hunt. We have Ren saying to Oak at the hunt, tonight is too late. Tonight is the shit. It is too late tonight. And he's like, what? What are you talking about? Hyacinth is really angry. Oak, you haven't found the riot piece killer. You have forgotten all about it. Oak is like, there's so much going on. Just give me a fucking minute. There's so much going on.
Oak needs a to-do list and somebody to prioritize it for him.
He absolutely does. This is also where the ghost, Garrett, comes up and is like, we are talking now. We're talking very soon. Like, let's go. Follow me. Like, I'm drinking this wine. Follow me. We have to talk. And this is where the ghost dies. The honey wine, the blusher mushroom. The ghost is dead. All of his secrets, too. Cardin turns the ghost into a tree. I didn't expect that. Good for him.
Yeah, the second he was changing it into a tree, I was like, oh, I guess, like, technically plants are living things. Like, I thought that was kind of... And obviously, he has the control of the land because the land works with the King of Alfheim. But this is also where the family starts turning against Ren, and Ren isn't helping herself by denying the allegations. And Terrence, like, do something. He's not technically dead. Maybe, like, turning him into a tree will slow down the dying process. Is this going to work? And then Cardin gets panicky and he's like, I don't fucking know. Just let me try. Let me try this. We'll figure everything out later. As the sequence of events are happening, down the little path, you also find that Lady Elaine is also dead, and that's when Oak is like, oh shit, all of these people, there is a common denominator here. I was the third, but I survived that. Shit's going down, and I just need Ren to deny something. I just, and even if it's just to me, I have to ask her, and I'll believe whatever she says. And he tells her that.
Yeah, and he does. And she doesn't say shit. And Randolin is like, all right, lock it up. Not in public, everybody. Inside meeting of all the royals and friends and family. Not in public. Let's go. And as soon as they are not in public, Randolin is like, let's go.
It was me.
And he stabs Cardin right in the fucking chest.
Right.
And Cardin's like, what did I do?
He's so like, oh, poor Cardin. And of course, Oak is like, fuck me. I fucked this up. My, like, Jude is going to lose it. Jude might come after everybody if, like, Cardin's dying right here.
Yep.
And honestly, rightfully, if rightfully so. If there's anybody in all of those people I'd be scared of, it wouldn't be Maddox. It wouldn't be like anybody but Jude.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She would just, there's neither here nor there. We know what she would do. All right. So Randolin organized this whole thing. He poisoned the wine. He killed everybody. He wants to put Ren on the throne. He isolated everybody on this aisle. He did all of this. He's, you know, the deal with Bogdana, the coup. This is where Oak reveals himself to be a fantastic fighter in front of his family. And he ends up killing Randolin. But this is also where Cardin admits this later. He's like, why didn't you just let us lock you up? Like, it would have just been so much fucking easier. And Cardin's like, okay. Thank you, Oak. We suspect you. We're going to lock you up. Arrest Oak, please. And that's where Oak is like, no, I'm going to fuck off and drowned essentially on Jack of the Lakes to go to the other aisle because I need to talk to Ren. The determination, man. Honestly, I think I'd stay with the High King if it were me, but it's not. So,
I mean, every decision that Oak makes, even though we were saying earlier, like, he has these obligations, he keeps thinking about what he has to do for the throne. And even though he knows those obligations, the only thing at the forefront of his mind is Ren, consistently.
Yeah, consistently. Consistently. And it is him constantly thinking about Ren that he figures it out. Like, he finally figures everything out. So, like, he almost drowns. Jack takes him to the other aisle. He finds Ren on a rock, right? And Ren is like, here's Tiernan in an acorn. We see the theme of these fucking acorns, these walnuts. Here's Tiernan. Take it. This is all I can do for you. And this is where she's like, you have to be clever now. Be clever now. And Ren and Oak is like, well, I'm not light bulb. I got it. You're being blackmailed. Mother Marrow has Bex in a walnut. I'm going to go get her and bring her back. So he does that. Oak goes to Mother Marrow and he has like a whole to do with her. And then he starts just like, he's like, all right, you want to tell me which walnut it is? I'm going to fucking crack open every single one of these bitches. Let's go. I like that. And Bex, you know, comes out of the nut. She spits at him and she's like, fuck you, my guy. I heard about you. I don't want anything to do with you, which mad respect. I also like that she has a big wrench.
Well, and, you know, Bex is the blackmail that keeps everybody in check because, well, not everybody in check necessarily, but, well, yeah. Yeah, because every action is about keeping her sister safe.
Yeah.
Oh, it is the House of Harlow.
It is.
Harlow.
It is. Yep. It is. So Bogdana appears. Jack and Hyacinth also appear. Mother Marrow basically sold out Oak to Bogdana. You know, hags unite. And they start to have a fight. And Oak is like, you know what? But wait, what if I surrender? What if I just surrender? And Bogdana's like, well, what if you did? All right, let's fuck off then. And she takes Oak to Inseer, where this is my favorite part of the whole book. Ren and Jude are facing off.
Oh, yeah. Because Oak is like, what do I see? Like, they're already fighting. They're already at each other. And he's like, oh, fuck. And like, honestly, he goes, Ren has the power. But to what we were saying earlier, I would not want to go up against Jude.
No, absolutely not. Especially when she's got all these tricks up her sleeve, too. She's like, all right, fine. Fucking kill anybody that goes near our tents. Because Cardin is evacuating everybody. Like, they're doing stuff. They are king and queen. They are taking care of their people. They are, you know.
Which is also, you know, now that we're talking it through, it reminds me of the foreshadow that we had at the earlier part of the book. Where Oak is just like, I mean, again, saying what a badass that Jude is when we were like 6 weeks ago. He's like, she probably has shit in her hair. She has daggers in her bodice. She has the weight of the world because even though she is the queen and she has all of these knights, she is stuck in her head from being a human that she is the only one who could get shit done and make things happen. And I'm like, here we are. Perfect example. Because where are her knights? because mm-hmm. she shouldn't have to fight. And she's constant. I mean, the knights need her more than she needs the knights at some most points.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, this is such a good scene. I just love it so much.
I do like this. I want to see it visually. Yeah. I think it could be so good.
Yep. So Red and Jude are fighting, and, you know, they're kind of talking, and they're like, you know, where's Carter? Is he hiding? He's such a coward. Bogdan is like, I'll have my revenge. And then they're talking, you know, Jude is stalling, like, why didn't you just allow them to marry? Like, you still have to do this. Like, it still doesn't work. If you kill Oak, he doesn't ascend. Like, it's a whole fucking thing. You know, why don't you just work with me instead? Like, why are you going through Oak? Like, why don't you just come to me, Jude, directly? And we could have, like, worked this out. Like, what's going on? And then Bogdan is like, whoa, 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 whoa. No. Fuck all of this. You and Oak fight to the death. Which I really like. And Jude's like, all right, fine, bet. Because if I win, you're gone. All right, let's go.
And, you know, I like that they use, like, Oak and Jude use this time to communicate how they're going to go against. Why am I going to say Bodega now?
Bogdana.
I've been saying it the whole time. I had like a brain fart. How they're going to go against Bogdana. And they do when they think that they're going to turn the swords on each other and they turn it on her. And there was another point where Oak knew that she was never going to go against him. It was because of the type of sword that she used, because it wasn't Nightfall.
Yes. Oh, that was so good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it wasn't Nightfall. So together they corner Bogdana, and this is Bogdana's like, all right, fine. And she throws lightning like fucking Thor. And this is where Ren catches it. I mean, that's cool. I want to see that.
This scene.
And absorbs it into her body, and she's glowing. And Oak says that you can see all of the like sticks and things that like make up her body inside of her, and that it was like weird, but also like kind of cool and shit. And then she is unconscious. The line is like she's burned up like all of her matches.
But then she comes back with feathers, with wings.
Yes. So we have the hearts of who listened beat for her alone. This is where Oak is, come back to me, come back to me, come back to me. He's trying to use his like persuasion powers, magic.
Yeah, his persuasion magic.
And it doesn't wake her up. And this is also where Oak confesses his love to Ren. He's like, come back, like take what you want. Like we're messes and messed up and we can like be there together. And I love we're later. He's like, I need that big fucking speech, are you shitting me? He's like, oh, she was
I love that whole thing. He's like, but I confessed. Oh, she heard none of it.
None of that. None of it. Dang. I love it. It's so funny. Bex is also there, like keeping vigil with Oak, you know, and she kind of like feels guilty about everything. And then Ren wakes up. And she's cold and like washed out. And then there's something like moving under her skin. This is very House of Hollow. And her skin tears. And then we have a beautiful brand new feathered winged Ren.
And Oak is staring and everyone's like, stop looking like you've never seen a naked girl in front of you.
He's like, oh, shit. But like, damn, it's so cool. I like this. I like it. I mean, we're almost at the end of this. We have one of my favorite quiet scenes between Oak and Matic. And they're talking about finishing Van Morin's chess game. And I like where Matic is having this quiet moment of reflection about his first wife, Ava. He's like, I forgot she was human. I forgot her life was short. I forgot she was lonely. I forgot all of these things about her. Like, it was all my fault. Like, I forgot this killer instinct that I had. I let it take over me. Like, I'm sorry, but also not sorry because, like, my daughter's the high queen. Like, you know, sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, what does he say? Like, everything that I've wanted for my kids, it's happening. Everything that I've wanted and he's kind of wanted for himself, too.
Yeah.
He's like, I didn't have to work for any of it.
Yeah, it's like my kids rule. Like these are, it's all of my dreams. Like I am good to go here. Like this is rad. cleaning up here. Tiernan and Hyacinth are back together, and Oak dismisses Tiernan from his service, and they're always going to be BFFs. Ren has fucked off, and she left a letter saying that she was going with Bex to visit her family and then going north. Bye!
I thought that that's how it was going to end, did you? Or were you hoping that that's how it was going to end?
No, at this point, I had no thoughts. I was in for the ride.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just in for the ride at this point. I was like, huh, okay, cool, cool, cool. Then we have Jude and Carden. Hey, Oak, you can abdicate if you want. You can abdicate if you want. It is not a problem.
But give us a couple months.
Yeah, but give us a couple months. Keep that shit quiet. Keep that shit quiet. Keep that shit quiet. We got something to do. We also have mentions of Taryn feeling sad and guilty over everything with Garrett the ghost, because Oak did have a big blowout with his family over the reveal of the ghost, and he killed his mother, Lorraipi, Oak's mother, and how they, his family, let him, Oak, be with Ghost and treat him as family when he murdered his family and they didn't tell him and it was a
betrayal.
But
everybody knew, yeah. Like, yeah, and everybody was acting like it was fine, yeah.
Yeah, so all of that. So there was all of that happening. So Taryn, with the ghost being dead, is like sad and she feels guilty. And then the whole family is like, you know, we've kept secrets, but we're going to get better about keeping secrets. Like, we're not going to do secrets anymore. And this is where Oak and Carden have their moment. It's so cute.
I like them. I like them having their brotherly bond of like, I've been where you are. You're not the first. I was there and I did it better. Like, you're acting like, honestly, Carden did it better. But we're also getting how they're going to hold, like, they're going to go see Nikasia. We're going to go see Nikasia. We're going to pick a suitor for her for the contest that she's having. Stay here, overlook things once we get back. It'll be fine. It'll be great. I don't know. Jude and Carden were really the driving force that made this book so strong, I think.
I completely, completely agree with you. I love when Carden says, like, I recognized your game before Jude, and I'm going to hold this over her head for the rest of our lives. It's going to be so amazing. Thank you for this.
Oak was so surprised. He was like, did you know? He goes, not the whole time, but I knew before your sister. And that was really exciting. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it surprised Carden that he picked up before Jude, because Jude is always ahead of it.
Yeah, he was like, ha, I got one. I did it. I got it. It's, again, can't bullshit a bullshitter. But yeah, don't abdicate yet. We need a few months. We are going to the undersea. Can't wait for that. So finishing out Oak's story, Oak goes to the north to the Obsidian Castle where the Hag Queen, who's the Hag Queen? Well, Ren is sitting in her library reading a book. We have the line, I adore you. Let's be monsters together. Love it. Let's be monsters together. Love it.
It's very Manacult.
It's so good. So good. You know, stay with me. You know, the riddle. Would you actually marry me? He'd be like, I'd be a king for you. That's the end of it. Like, cool, I guess. All right. Let's play this out. Oak and Ren will get married. They'll be king and queen in the north. So that means that Jude and Carden will have a baby and secure the dynasty there. If that happens, I'm saying this right now. If that happens, I will not be angry at it. That is a pregnancy trope that will not bother me. I'm saying it right here.
Because it's them. You usually don't like, you're not like a huge pregnancy trope person.
I'm not, but it's Jude, and Jude would be the most interesting character to watch being a mother.
Yeah.
Carden would be the best father and would be amazing.
You get the foreshadowing with Leander.
Mm-hmm. It would just be so good. And then I have no problem watching them raise a little terror of a child.
That would be fun.
It would be fun.
Well, and also to that, I know, like, a big thing that people don't like about the pregnancy trope is when it's very quick. Like, they've been ruling for 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So and also, here's another part of me. I do believe that in that situation, you do have to secure the throne.
Yeah.
And I know it's a very, like, gross, like, ooh, you have to secure the throne, secure the dynasty. That is what it is in the context of this story. And, like,
because, I mean, it's essentially laid out. I mean, they brought up birth control. They brought up the fact that Oak is going to be king. It's going to be wherever. And I almost thought that that's where it was going to go before Nikasia. Like, hey, can you give us some baby making time? And then once we're good, you can dip. Like, but to know that they have like another adventure ahead of them is really, really exciting, too.
It is. And I love that they ended with it, too, because we end twofold. We end Oak and Ren's story of like they're going to be happy. They're going to be in the north together. They're going to be monsters and terrorize each other up there. That's going to be lovely. But also we have this really fantastic thing to look forward to. We have Jude and Cardin. We have the Undersea. We have Nikasia. Very familiar settings and stories and characters.
And also, like, from where we were in, like, the first three books and including the novella, How the King of Elfheim Learned to Hate stories, we also have that insight of Cardin and Nikasia's relationship in that context as well. So to see how they've grown, all three of them, since their, you know, school days too, of now Nikasia trusts them to be judges of who her suitor and who is going to rule with her. You get to see that growth of, you assuming a positive growth in their relationship, because at the end of the day, fairy, they all have to kind of coincide and work together and have those allyships.
Very well said. And very exciting for the future. Because as we said in the beginning, this book didn't really like hit on all cylinders for us, but just you got on to Goodreads and that seemed to be the theme.
Yeah, I feel like I went to Goodreads to try to get some sort of like grasp of this book, because I feel like I texted you and I said, I feel so stupid. I feel so stupid reading this. What is going on? And then like, at this point, you had already finished it the first time, or at least the second time. You go, it'll make sense. It'll make sense. But rest assured, like, I can see why you feel that way. But that seemed to be like a lot of the context once I switched the filters around and I just said most recent. A lot of people were just saying, like, look, I'm here for the Jude and Cardin content, or this book didn't necessarily hit the way the first book in the duology was. My question for you is, and this is coming from the context of, we assume, read everything the author writes, would you be fine taking this duology out and essentially whenever that next, and jumping, flashing forward to the Nikasia book?
Yeah. Yes, I absolutely would. I absolutely would. Unless it comes to light that the stuff that happens here is very important. I just can't see where it would be.
This feels ironed out kind of right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know where the plot points, you know, I just don't know, but I'm not an author. I don't have talent. So I would love to be surprised. Surprise. Dazzle me. Yeah. I think you can skip over these depending on how the next book goes. I think it all depends on that, because who can say?
Not us.
Until it's in our hands, right?
That's
like
true.
Until
That's
it's in our hands,
case.
Who can say?
I feel like we always are like, I guess we don't know what we don't know. And we won't know until that third book to make that official statement of our preferred reading order. But that being said, feel free to follow us on Instagram. We're at Akafe Podcast. We're also both on TikTok, Akafe Laura and Akafe Jessica. Thanks for joining us, and we hope to hear from y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.